I do thank God for the men that's fought and died for this country. I say that. I had a lot of friends and a lot of family that sacrificed and fought for this country. And I even got one uncle that fought in Vietnam. And faced about everything that you could face over, I guess. And he still works every day of his old life like a young man. I was out there the other day killing myself trying to get out of town. And I found my old soldier uncle plowing the fields. I said, boy, hallelujah. Thank God for men. You hear me? Thank God for men. I'm going to tell you what we're doing, Brother Harvey. I'm going to tell you what you're doing in this place here if you're not real careful, young people. I'm going to talk to you for a second. I want you to listen real good now. You're going to be trading your racehorses off for jackasses. That's what you're doing.
That's right, bro. Yes, sir.
I said you're trading your racehorses off for some jackasses. That's what you're doing. And you're going to lose. That's what you're going to do. Because the Lord's give you some real racehorses and you're wanting to give away and trade off what the Lord's give you for what the devil's offering you.
That's right. Yes, sir. Help us, Lord.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Better learn how to get a hold of these things of God. Do you hear me? Better learn how to take and appreciate the things of God. And quit worrying about your stinking flesh. Your flesh should be there till you die. You'll never satisfy it. You'll never smoke enough dope for your flesh to say that's good. You'll never lay enough flesh, bless God, for your flesh to say, that's enough. You'll never drink enough liquor for your flesh to say, satisfied. You'll never satisfy this wicked flesh. It'll crave hell all the days of your life. It'll crave sin all the days of your life. You'll never appease your wicked, rotten flesh. I tried my dead level best for 20 years. I tell you, I said, I thank God for these American flags. And I thank God for these soldiers. But I thank God 10 million times that over 30 years ago, I pledged my allegiance to another. Wow, hallelujah. And them woods in North Carolina, when the King of Glory passed by my way, I pledged allegiance to him ever since that day. God has never failed me.
Amen.
Satisfies. Right. Turn that volume up. Don't turn it down. Amen. Praise God. I like it. If you got your Bible, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5, please. Plenty of bad, I guess I could find to say about these Amish around here. No doubt there's no shortage of wickedness in that outfit. But the one thing I do see that I pass up and down the road, they do teach their children how to work.
Yes, sir.
Mamas and daddies, one of the greatest things you'll ever do for your kids is get them to the house of God and teach them how to work.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Teach them how to work. Amen. Mamas, teach them how to, bless God, roll some biscuits out. And, hey, man, get flour all over theirself. And, hey, man, turn an oven on and learn how to crank up a good sink full of dishes. And, hey, man, and sing some of them old songs while you're baking in the kitchen. And, hey, man, wear them good dresses in there and put you on a good apron. And daddy, teach them boys, praise God, how to push mow a yard and how to crank a weed eater and how to go out and drive a nail and how to saw a board. Hallelujah. Can't go wrong teaching your children how to work. Hey, man, I've got three boys, and every one of them sorry as a devil, but I ain't never had to listen to none of them call me up and ask me for money. Right. And none of them had to call me and say, Dad, I need some help. Now, you know, I know young people, Brother Ron Williams, need help from time to time. I did. Thank God none of my youngins ever had to do it. You say, why? Because they know how to work.
Amen.
God's been good to them. Let them give them some working wisdom.
Yes.
Jeremiah chapter 5 says this. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment that seeketh the truth. And I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Boy, if that ain't America, I'm a purple gorilla. You hear me? I'm telling you, friend, we ought to be weeping in the condition that our country's in. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore, I said, surely, these are poor. They are foolish, and they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. How many shall I pardon thee? How shall I pardon thee for this day? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I have fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. Folks, listen, let me tell you something. This ain't just people that's stupid. These are people that know about God. You hear me? These are people that have sat in churches just like this right here. And meetings just like... And I've been in enough of these meetings at Black Creek with y'all to know that, bless God, you ought to be closer to God today than you was 5 years ago when I met you.
Yes, sir.
But the sad truth is that some of us is further today than where you was when I met you. Right? You're not any closer. Hey, Brother Harvey, I listened to the Monday night service, and Brother McVeigh, it broke my heart because I can't help but to wonder how many of you young men have run and grabbed your spear this week?
That's right.
How many of you young men have run off somewhere this week and said, oh God, give me that spear. Or give me that spear. Or give me that spear. How many messages you need? You need more than what you got Monday night? If you do, you ain't looking for nothing. Because you got all you need in Monday night.
Exactly right.
You got all you can handle Monday night. If you take what you got Monday night and participate in it, appropriate that in your life, it's all you can handle, friend. So I'm not going to hand you a spear. I'm trying to tell you how wicked you are. Because I believe that's what we need. You're just like me. You got this body of flesh. Look with me, if you will, in verse 25. I'd read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, I'm going to focus on verse 25. Jeremiah 5, I want you to see this. Your iniquity. I don't want you to understand that this is talking about the Amish. This ain't talking about the Catholics over there in Cattaraugus County. I want to talk to you sitting here in Black Creek Baptist Church tonight. He said, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. You're trading your racehorse off with a jackass. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to lose that with God. I'm going to tell you what I'm trying to get at tonight. You can't win with sin. You cannot win with sin. If sin was a game, it's a losing game, friend. You cannot win with sin. You're only going to fail. You're only going to fall. You're only going to come short. You're only going to go to hell. You can't win with sin. Boy, here we see old Jeremiah. He was a great man of God. Bible called him the weeping prophet. I believe one of the reasons he was a weeping prophet was because he cared for his people.
Right.
I want you to understand, man, I care for the people, Brother Harvey. I spend many hours of my life in tears because I care for the people. And I see that Brother McVeigh, they're missing out, and God's withholding good things from them. Man, they're chasing this old world, and they're trying to satisfy the lust of the flesh, and they think they're doing all right, and I'm looking at them going, they're missing out. There's no joy. There's no real peace. There's no real rest. There's no satisfaction. There's no real nothing but emptiness and grief and sorrow and pain. You can't win with sin. Jeremiah was weeping over his people. He's not dealing with the world. He's not dealing with a bunch of heathens. But he's preaching to the Lord's people. I like what Jeremiah's doing. He's blowing out sin. I like it. I like preachers that blow out sin. Hey, amen.
Right.
You blow out sin and they call you legalist. Mm-hmm. I've been married for over 30 years. Legalist is a nice name. I've been called everything, honey, under the sun. Hey, amen. Love you. God bless you. Been called everything under the sun. Legalists don't bother me. Preaching on sin makes me a legalist. I'm a legalist because I'm going to preach against sin.
Amen.
It's not a legalist.
Right.
We're living in such a society today. I thought about saying, but I won't say it. We're living in such a sissy society today. I won't say it though. I'm not going to say that. We're just living in such a society today that we've even made excuses for our sins.
Yeah. Right.
We excuse them. I hear stuff like this, Brother McVeigh. Well, everybody's doing it. What about them? What about what she said? What about what he done? Ain't what we're talking about tonight. We ain't talking about them. We ain't talking about they. We talking about you.
That's right. Man. Yes, sir.
We talking
that's
about me.
Right, brother. Yes, sir.
Huh?
Amen.
That's what we need to get.
Yes, sir.
We need to get right here.
Yes,
we don't need to worry about what everybody else is doing. We need to worry about us. Amen. Yeah. We need to take a good look at self. See, we don't need to worry about what our neighbors and our brothers and our sisters are doing. But maybe we ought to take that mirror, that magnifying glass, and turn it toward the innards of our soul and say, search me, O God.
Yeah.
Show me the error of my way.
Yes.
Consumes most of my life, Zach. God's showing me the errors of my way. God don't see things the way we see things. We preach against humanism, and yet we practice humanism.
Yeah.
Read up with this junk. God's not like us. Here's what God said about your sin. It's going to kill you.
Yep.
Your mammy and your pappy will grease your little hiney and send you, make excuses for you. But here's what the God of glory said. The wages of sin is death. It's going to kill you. It's going to cost you something. You're not going to get by with your sin, friend. I'm not just an ignorant backwood hillbilly. I done read my Bible a time or two. And I'm telling you, I found out, Zach, through 52 years of living, that sin will cost you something.
Yes, sir. Sure will. Yes, sir.
I'm ashamed to even sit around people, brother, and smile. I'm a happy person. I like to laugh and cut up and have a good time and kiss my wife and smooch and all them things. Eat cheeseburgers and ice cream and Snickers. And I get around people and I have to hide my teeth because of sin.
Yeah, come on. Yes, help us, Lord, help us.
Didn't take care of myself. I abused my body. I thought it was cute back in the day to bust open beer bottles with my teeth. Wasn't cute, it was stupid. I was busting my teeth all to pieces, and now, friend, I gotta pay for it. Hey, that's minute to what people have to. I deal with people every day of my life, friend, where they would trade places with me and my teeth. Any given second of the day, you hear me? I mean, man, there's kids, you understand, that's in my life that go through more at 9 years old than I've ever dreamed of at 52.
Yes, sir.
The wages of sin. We hear this stuff. I've heard it by McVeigh all my life. I grew up underneath. I cut my teeth on Oliver Green. A little boy sitting at my aunt's counter. Every morning of my life, she'd plug in Oliver Green, and I'd have to sit there and listen to it. Men like Mr. Olof and Sandy Allen and Harold Seidler and all those great men of God down through the years, God's given me the privilege of sitting underneath them and listening to them and let them take that wonderful wash rag of grace and just bathe me with it through the years. And I've heard them men preach against sin and preach on the grace of God. And I've seen them do things and say things in that pulpit, man, that ought to change the entire world. But yet for some reason, Chris, people sit in that congregation and think they're an exception.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You flip who you are, what your background is, what you've been through, you're no exception to the penalty of sin.
That's right.
Sin has no respect upon its penalty of people. You hear me? Sin is ranting and raving, seeking who it may devour. It don't care where it finds you. It don't care where it takes you. It don't care what it costs you. It doesn't care about you, friend. It's just out to get you, and it will get you. And you're not an exception to that. We spent the evening with that great soldier of God, Brother Harvey. I couldn't think of a greater thing to do on the 4th of July than to eat a chicken leg with one of God's choice men. And he was telling me about being in Mississippi, and if you find God in Mississippi, more power to you. I spent 2 years down there. Brother Donnie said he was down there at 10 o'clock, and they said, come on, Brother Donnie, we're going to go soul winning at 10 o'clock. Well, I said, man, I want to go to bed. Just leave. No, we're going soul winning. Get up and let's go. 10 o'clock, Mississippi. They went soul winning. He said, man, we went down there in the ghetto, in the hood. He said, we pulled up down there, and them little youngers took off running. He said, one old man, like a gangster, the Mac Daddy, was sitting over on the wall with a beard and looked at us and said, what y'all doing down here? Brother Donnie said, man, we come to tell you about Jesus. He said, what y'all doing? Brother Donnie said, I don't know, man. This crazy preacher drove me down here tonight. Brother Donnie looked at that boy and said, that man, he said, sir, you ever been saved? Brother Donnie said, he said, yes, sir. My daddy's a preacher in the state of North Carolina. Brother Donnie looked at that man and said, let me tell you something, son. He said, I don't know you. I don't know nobody down here. But I know lots over there. And he said, me and said, we're going to go soul winning. And for some reason, God brought me across you. He said, sir, I want you to know somebody's praying for you. Yes. So, preacher, what are you talking about? I don't care if you're a preacher, son. You be down there in the ghetto. Sin don't care. Oh, it's so far-fetched, Brother Harvey. That's not even real to us. We're so deceived. We don't think that can happen to us. I'm telling you, most of us ain't nothing but one decision away from being homeless. Most of us ain't but about one decision away from being on the street. Most of us ain't but one decision away from being locked up in a prison cell. Just one choice, friend. Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, I got a brother that claims to be an independent, fundamental Baptist preacher that's going to spend the next 10 years in a state penitentiary. Spent 7 years, got out, couldn't stop his habits, went back, and he's a preacher, do you hear me? Sin has got a stronghold in his life, and it's dragged him through the cesspools of this world. Watch a family of dope addicts. Sin don't care. I've watched my mama cry herself to sleep on many a night. I've heard her laying there on that bed and beg God with tears of flowing, God save my children. I've heard that old praying mama laying there and say, oh God, save my children. I'm telling you, Brother Donnie, oh God, and that boy's in the prison house. I've watched it take years off of her life. Sin don't care about you. Don't care who you hurt.
No.
You believe I've seen my brothers that grew up in the same house that I grew up in? The same discipline. They heard the same cussing. The same fighting. They heard the same preaching. The same Bible. Man, would you believe that one of my brothers took and stole my mama's diamond wedding ring? And took it down to the pawn shop and sold it. He gave him a shot of heroin. What's the difference between me and my brother? We in the same house, same everything, man. Well, I'll tell you the difference.
Yeah. Yes, preacher. Yes, sir.
Team of friend.
Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, Brother McVeigh, I was on the same path. I was on the same road. I can remember many a times my family shut the door in my face, and I can remember the things that they said. He'll never amount to nothing. He'll be in prison. Ain't nothing ever going to come of him. I can remember the things they said to him. I don't blame them for slamming the doors. I don't blame them for the things they said. I was a hellion on wheels, friend. But I'm telling you, they wasn't counting on God. They wasn't counting on the night. Then I said the lamp of the Holy Ghost. I said the Holy Ghost. And he arrested my soul. And he took me to Calvary. And Jesus saved my soul. Amen. Wasn't counting on that. Somewhere I read it. It was a good tale. Somewhere it said something like this. But God. The story of my life. But God.
Amen.
Right. Had it not been for God, I'd be sitting right there doing time with my brother. I've been stealing my mama's rings and hocking them for another shot. Well, I thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. I didn't know the things that I know now. Sometimes I rejoice because I can't handle the goodness of God now. I'm telling you, Brother Dale, I get done preaching sometimes and my body aches.
Yes, sir.
And I think, well, if God got any better, I'd probably die.
Right? Yes, right.
I mean, my body aches, man. I get done, I'm like, I just got out of a 12-round fight with bare knuckle boxer Hall of Fame. And I won, amen. I couldn't miss that big melon head of his. John O'Sullivan. Stephanie pulled that shirt out. I said, get that shirt, I'm going to work to New York. Amen. Sin, ladies and gentlemen, don't care about us. All it wants to do is destroy you and ultimately kill you. It's going to cost you something. God's not as nonchalant about sin as we are. I'll tell you something, he's dealt with sin in the most loving and gruesome way. For some reason, we think Calvary was a quaint little thing. And everybody wants to get these little tattoo crosses. And I told the church the other day, and thank God for my congregation for being here. I love you. Eric, I love you. I love you, family. Amen. Michael, I love you, family. I'm so glad they're here.
Amen.
And I want you to know something, Miss Amy. I support this meeting down at my church, and I promote this meeting. I tell my people, man, it's only 180 days to Black Creek. I'm going to tell you something. I got youngins in my congregation, like this little precious thing right here. That little boy sitting back yonder, and that little boy sitting right there, and that little boy sitting on his daddy's lap. I'm going to tell you, jackleg, something. If you think you're going to live like hell in front of my congregation, I won't promote this meeting.
That's right. That's right.
That's
yes, sir.
Good. That's good.
You better show my children, bless God, how a teenager is supposed to act. You hear me?
Yeah.
Don't show my children stuff that little kids ain't supposed to say. Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman.
Yes, says.
That's what my King James Bible says. It's not good for a man to touch. If you ain't very blessed, God, keep your hands off of it.
That's right.
Your flesh can't take flesh, friend. You ain't fooling me. You're wicked as hell is what your problem is. If you can sit around and touch females and you can touch males, if it don't stir you up and arouse you, then that preacher said last night you ain't got a pulse. Let me add something to that. If that don't mess you up, you got too much sugar in your blood.
Yes, sir. Exactly right. That's right. Yep, that's right.
I ain't never been able to take flesh in my flesh.
That's right.
Right.
I don't want my youngins to hear their preacher promote something and have to sit around and watch a bunch of filth and ungodliness, unscriptural stuff. I don't want them to see that. And my hey, that's what's happened to a lot of these great men of God, that they stood for things down through the years. And then they brought in every Tom, Dick, and Harry that stood for over anything and didn't stand for nothing.
Yeah.
And let them preach in their pulpit. And it's confused their congregation.
That's right.
Destroyed them great works. I can name some great men of God. I've sat and watched their works be destroyed because they let foolishness and friends, you hear me, cliques just slide with certain sins. Tim McVeigh's my friend. I ain't said my buddy, he's my friend. I tried to make a pact with Brother McVeigh a long time ago because I've had plenty of compromising friends that would let me get by with my cussing. I like to cuss. Then nobody laughs, so I take it y'all like to cuss too. I'm at home.
Say it again.
I said, Brother McVeigh, would you be a friend to me? Would you not let me slide? Don't let me buy with things because I'm your friend. Yeah. If you see something in my life, would you be a friend to me? Would you please tell me? I mean, if you got to jack me up, big boy, you jack me up. I mean, that's all right. I'm man enough to take it. I grew up with a house full of boys. I've had my hinders kicked before. It won't be the first time. And the way I run my mouth, it probably won't be the last time. I'm not like that preacher we talked last night. I thank God for Brother Hayne, but I'm an idiot out in public, friend. If you let a woman load your lumber and they spree me standing around, I'm saying something. I'm sorry, brother. But I sit and watch them men let them women load the lumber at the lumber yard, and I can't take it. She don't even have to be pretty for me to stand up and say something about it. She just got to be a woman. Just a woman. I see a little gal over there with crooked eyes one day couldn't see straight. And it flew all over me because them men just let her do all the work. That ain't a man. Excuse me. That's them males let her do all the work. Excuse me. I'm going to tell you what we're doing, Zach. We're missing out on the good things of God by not living holy and going with God. I get sick and tired. I guess I'm running on them little rabbits, but I don't care. I don't like killing rabbits. I love rabbit hunting. I love to hear a good beagle bark. Hey, man, I like to see a thing come out, just blow its hide. Bow! Woo, woo! I like killing stuff. Is that wrong? Is that bad? Is that weird? I like killing stuff. It's good. I knew you'd like that. Me and you, we like that. Sin. It'll destroy you. It'll cost you. I know we don't believe it, but it really will. I know most of us, Brother Askew, don't really even believe we're going to hell, but
right.
Without Jesus, you really will.
Yeah, you really are.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
I know we don't believe it. I know we don't believe we really must be born again, but we really must be born again.
Exactly. Amen. Amen.
Brother McVeigh, don't let me get by with stupid. I've seen too many clips, Brother Harvey. I've seen people get with their buddies, and I've seen men step out of the pulpit and take the coat off and say that they're off the clock now and that they can just live about any old way they want to, and they really do. And people just kind of go along with it. But I got a problem with that.
That's
somebody
right.
is watching.
That's right.
Amen.
Somebody is watching. Somebody is watching.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I want you grown, older teenagers to know somebody is watching.
Yes, sir.
Amen. They're watching.
Hey.
Hey, Jesse. Somebody's watching.
Yes, sir.
my little cousin over there, Jesse.
Amen.
Mama OD'd on heroin. A beautiful woman, a smart woman. Sin took her. Took her life.
Yeah.
Precious boy. Yes, look at that little boy. Mean as a snake. Oh boy. Ain't got a tooth in the front of his mouth. Oh, him and little Joy over here might be a match made in heaven. Near one of them got enough teeth.
Yeah.
How would you like me riding down with the road with your daddy? I'm talking about Stephen, a daddy who grew up in an independent fundamental Baptist church with a fireball preacher. Old northern boy, Hank Howbold. I don't know if any of y'all know him, but old Hank used to preach, man. I'm telling you, he used to sink the plow in our church. I loved him. Thank God for him. How would you be liking to ride down the road with your daddy, sitting there that kind of preaching, and he nods out on you going down the road? And you'd be a little old boy and have to go, Daddy, and you have to grab the wheel. Daddy, wake up! Daddy, wake up! Daddy ain't asleep. Daddy not. That's the world we live in, brother. That's sin for you. I care about that.
No question. Yes, sir.
You know how hard it was to get for us to get a little fellow to be able to come to the house of God this week? They wanted to go with some lesbians and see the firecrackers. I said, son, you see firecrackers in hell. There will never be no shortage of fire in hell. What you better do is let your boy get to God. That's what you better do.
Yes, Lord, help him.
They're mad as on. We want him home. He ain't come get him. You ain't getting him. We ain't bring him home for a while now.
Hey.
I want him to see God.
Yes, help him, Lord. Help him.
He ain't going to see God if we got a bunch of sin in our lives.
Yes, that's right.
He's got that at the house. He don't need to come up here and find
that's
us
right.
Singing. He don't need to see nobody perfecting that junk.
Yes,
he don't need to see how grown-ups live in it. He don't need to see how bigger people get by. He don't need to see that kind of... What he needs to see is some holiness.
Yes.
He needs to see the presence of God. He needs to see the Shekinah glory. He needs to see Jesus pass by. Can I tell you something? It's a good thing when Jesus passes by.
Amen.
Here's what he said. You're going to miss out on them good things because of the sin that's in your life. I tell you, Brother Harvey, I can reminisce all day long, and I'm just getting all out of whack, but I try to follow the Holy Ghost. I guess I get one of them quails. I just have them thoughts, and we just shoot. And, man, I like them number 8 shots. It just goes everywhere. And you can get something. If you don't do nothing to shoot the dog in the head, you can get something. God ain't nonchalant. God's not nonchalant like we are. We got these little ideas that all these little things is cute. And I told our congregation the other day, I said, that's such a cute little Jesus that they got hanging up there in Black Creek. I always like mocking him. Calling him Slick Jagger, Mick Jagger's cousin, all them things. If the millennials can get a hold of a painting like that, he'll have a tattoo of a cross on his neck and a nose ring and a halo. And yeah, could you imagine some little sissy today drawing a picture of Jesus? It'd be unreal.
Yes, sir.
How come when we want to spiritualize our sin, you know, Brother Harvey, I got a boy that's stupid enough that he thought it'd be all right to get a cross tattoo after his daddy's preached against it all his life. He got out there on his lawn. He ain't got enough money, Brother Dale, thank God, to ignoramus. He ain't got enough money to even get a tattoo finished. He got him a cross put on his arm. His daddy's blowed that junk out and told him not to do it and cussed that junk out all his life. And he got out there and thought he knew better than his old daddy. And he got him one, couldn't even afford to get it finished. Now he looks like a double imbecile. You know what he told me? He said, Dad, I don't want nothing for my birthday. Now, folks, we're Vernons. We're Mac Vernons. And if y'all don't know who I am, my son is a state champion wrestler.
Yeah. Brother McVay said he was a two-time undefeated. That's because he lost the third match.
He said, "Dad, would you help me get this thing off my arm? Now, some of y'all sweeter than I am." I said, "Hey, look, ignoramus, I didn't help you get it on your arm. You're stupid enough to do it. Show your daddy you got enough sense to get it off. We'll help him, won't we, baby? If she says we will. I say we won't."
What are you talking about, preacher? I'm just talking about sin.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad he regrets it, brother.
Yes,
I do. I'm glad he regrets it. I'm glad he regrets it, Mama. Ain't you? I'm glad it bothers him. Let me say that. I'm glad it bothers him. I'm glad he's not comfortable with it. I'm glad that when he comes to the house, he don't show it. You know, everybody that's got one has to work. You know, me and Steve sing a little boy the other day, and y'all please forgive me, I'm just an idiot. But we sing a little boy the other day in the airport, and he had a pair of them skin tight jeans on. As soon as I see a dude with them skinny jeans, I'm mad. What's up? And he had him a little t-shirt. He had him a V t-shirt. And he had him some Roman numeral printed. I can't read 1, 2, and 3, much less Roman numerals, man. All I can do is start taking money out. I can subtract good because I get my check and just start giving it away. I ain't got to count it. I just start giving it away. Uncle Sam gets his.
How come it is that we're so flagrantly proud of our sin today that we can't just wear, you know, our hair like we're supposed to? We get these tattoos on our neck, we gotta wear our hair up now so everybody can see our sin. I'm still against tattoos. I know it's dead quiet in here. I don't give a shit, brother. I'm still against tattoos. Hey, man. I'm still against marking up you. I think your body ought to be the temple of the Lord. I think people ought to be able to look at you and see the Lord in you, friend, not the marks of the world.
That's right.
Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. That's right.
Well, you ain't fooling me.
Right.
You ain't fooling me. You can't love two masters, man. You can't serve both. Right. People either love one and hate the people fight me on this love of Jesus thing. It'd be so much better for us just go ahead and say we hate God. God knows it. God ain't fooled by our tactics, friend. He knows we don't love him. Our life screams that we don't. Hey, how do you know you love him? Oh, let's see. Maybe because we obey his word. Wouldn't that be something, brother? Wouldn't that be a real evidence that we love him, that we obey all of his word?
That's right.
Amen.
Maybe I don't know all of his word. I'm failing in there. That's why I pray. God, show me. That's why I continuously read my Bible. So God will turn the light on and show me. Oh, boy. There you go.
Yes, sir, brother.
Happens to me all the time. Man, I hear preachers preach, and it don't take long, son. The Holy Ghost of God will smite my heart and point out some junk in my life. I tell you, it ain't long, son, before I'm in a place of repentance. Thank God for repentance.
Amen.
Amen. Told Brother Harvey today, I've been repenting before I got saved and ever since I've been saved. They must still repent.
Yes, sir.
Brother Dale, I can remember being a little boy, and I don't remember people walking. You know, we used to call it, Brother Asker, we used to call it brown bagging.
Yeah.
You know, we used to brown bag. He brown bagging because everybody had enough shame about them that they'd put their sin in a bag. And they didn't walk out the store letting everybody see it. Yeah. Not the only thing you did see anybody have shame about. This one of them little girly magazines. What, they used to keep them behind the counter, and you'd see them on perverts. They'd be looking around. You know what this one. They'd be looking around, see who was in the store. See who was looking. Let me get one in real quick.
Yeah.
Put that in the bag for me. Thank God. You ain't got to do that now. It went real quiet while ago, real high, bro. It went real quiet while ago when the man of God said something about our computers.
That's right.
I listened to the you'd think Jesus had passed by, but it wasn't him. No, son. It was that church mouse passed by. Gotcha. Did you hear me? Gotcha. Let me see your phone.
I lay my computer down in front of my wife all the time. Amen. My phone's laying right by her all the time. Yep. Friend, I want to be accountable. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to be accountable, friend. Yes, your wife ought to be able to look and you're not having no secret password, right. No secret nothing. There'll not be nothing that she can't look at. Hey, man, she'll be able to search your history.
Yes,
you'll not have to fuss about it. You'll not have to question that. You're to just be willing to say, yeah, baby, here it is. Hey, Sam, don't be too ashamed, buddy. They ain't nobody in here any different than you, buddy.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right.
He came clean, brother.
That's exactly right. I don't mind saying some things, Brother Harvey, because we all got this stinking rotten flesh. It all likes the same stuff. It all craves the same thing. It's just some people got enough man about them to say, I'm guilty, God, I'm guilty.
Come on.
Right. Hallelujah. Right. Got real quiet on that, Brother Dale.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Got real quiet.
Wow.
Boy, the dumpster business would be in big time business if we knew the FBI was coming by to confiscate our stuff.
Yes, sir.
They would be some smoke offerings, you hear me? We'd be making some smoke offerings to the Lord.
Yes.
We'd be sitting on some of them burn barrels one more time in our bed. Preacher, I think we'll have one of them burn barrel services. I got a couple of computers I need to burn real quick. Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, here's what I want to say. Our passage, look at it one more time. I'll quit, Brother McVeigh. I've messed up. Listen to what he said. That girl that's sitting over across the aisle from you at church, her iniquities is going to get you. That dude that rubs you wrong, his iniquities, I'm going to hold against you. Listen to what the Bible says. Your iniquity. That's why I'm not talking to them Amish people, because they're not here. I don't believe in talking to the church down the street. I preach to our people, and I preach to our people because they're there, and I talk to them where they at. Amen. Where
that's
I'm
right.
at.
That's right.
Where I'm at. I preach to them where I'm at, Brother Harvey. It's the stuff that I need. It's just stuff that God deals with me on most
right.
of the time. Most of the time, I have to spend time with God over the stuff that I preach because it's the Holy Ghost that's stirring me up about the very thing. Amen. Well, I don't know what's time what to preach, Brother Dale, other than just reading the Bible. God stirs something on
that's
my
right.
heart.
Yes, sir.
Why till you get in that prayer closet, listen, friend, you read your Bible and something will jump out on you. And it may not even jump out on you while you're reading your Bible.
That's right.
You get in that prayer closet.
Oh, yes, help us, Lord.
That's a birthing place.
Sure it is.
God will birth a message in your heart in that secret place, friend.
Yeah.
Something that you did read. The Holy Ghost will burn that in your heart in that secret place. And son, he'll catch that thing afire and you'll come out of there ready to just preach the gospel of Jesus. Right.
Yes, sir.
Right, that secret place. You say, I'm not a preacher. Listen, friend, you need to be on the streets telling people about, you need to be out of the job. Hey, ladies, you ought to go down to the marketplace. Hey, man, with a song in your heart and an amen and Jesus on your lips.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir. Amen.
Everybody ought to have something to say something about Jesus.
Yeah.
I tell you what I get sick of. I get sick of church folks that, and I ain't talking about nobody in particular, just church folks that do this. They ain't got no joy. Wonder why folks ain't got no joy. That's right. Sin, brother. Sin's a joy stealer. It'll steal your joy. Brother Clay, I don't know how they do in the North. I got some of my greatest friends in the North. Some of the best friends of my life is on the wrong side of the DMZ. I don't even know what it means, but it sounds good. I mean, I know there's a Mason Dixon something down there around Brother McVeigh's house, and I know when I cross it going that way, it's just something that, like, it's like a smile of heaven. Joy bells.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, listen, friend, if you ever go into Chambersburg, go down there. That's right. Travel through Chambersburg on I-81 this weekend.
Yeah.
Tell me you found God on 81.
Right.
Good luck. It's hard for us to understand that we are what's wrong. Your sins. He said, your sins, your iniquities. It's you, big boy. It's you, ma'am, that I want to deal with. It's not, don't be worried about your neighbor down the street. Let's deal with you right here, right now. I tell you how you can have a better impact on your neighbor. I tell you how you can have a better impact on that one sitting across the aisle from you. Get right with God and let them see the joy of the Lord in you. I was going to say, I don't know how you've done it all your life up here on this side of the line, but I can tell you where we used to do it back at the house. We used to have goats on one side of the church and sheep on the other. In other words, the lost people sat over here and the saved people sat over here. And back in them days, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times the saved people were really saved and living saved. You know, Monday they read their Bible and they lived for God on Tuesday and they lived for God all the week long. And they stayed in the prayer calls and they met with God and they worshiped Him in secret. And when they would come down there to that public place, when they'd get down there to the house of God, listen to me, when they'd get down there to the house of God, what they'd done in the secret place, God would pour out on them in the public place. And them old folks would get down there in sheep. They'd get to rejoicing in the Lord. They'd get to praising God. They'd get to shouting it out. And all these goats sitting over here would have to sit over there and watch them people rejoice in the Lord. Get excited about God. And boy, I tell you what it made me do. It made me want what they had. Wouldn't it be something one more time if God's people had something that this lost and dying world had? Wouldn't that be something?
That's right.
I believe if we got the sin out, friend, if there was a residue of holiness in our life, I believe if we ever do get a glimpse of the glory of God, you can't get away from it. You can't escape it. You can't escape the power of God. I'm telling you, friend, if the Holy Ghost ever does, I feel you. You'll never get away from that. I've never been able to get away from old time religion.
Yes.
Hey, listen, my greatest preacher of all my life, you couldn't hardly hear him talk. He's so quiet. Brother Joe Parsons, one of the greatest men of God I've ever heard listen to preach in my life. And just barely could. Man, I tell you, you knew Joe being with the Lord. You knew Brother Joe had been with Jesus. Man, thank God. I remember Brother Asquith walking in the back of Thruway Baptist Church in King, North Carolina. As a little pumpkin head boy, I walked in there and come in that back door, old Red Kirby's church, and started going that way. And they had this wild man out of North Georgia preaching. And he had sweat sloshing in his wingtip shoes. And he was a shaking that head. And he was a preaching the Word of God. And me, just a little knuckleheaded boy, I said, I don't know what that man's got, but I sure would like to have some of that. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, I never have been able to get away from it. I never have been able to escape it. It never has just left me. I never have been able to shake it off. I'm talking about, thank God, it's that old-fashioned Holy Ghost, Jesus, amen. An old-time religion. I didn't know what Brother Allen had, but I found out a few years later.
Amen.
Man knew something about Jesus, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. Man, preaching that Spirit-filled life. Man, we used to go to meeting. I was talking about reminiscing a while ago. I ain't 52 years old, but God's been good to me. I've been in some of the best meetings, man. I've been down at Faith Baptist Camp where it got out of the banks. I'm talking about the glory of God's passed by. I've seen God move in the midst of people, man, and do things that only God could do. You can't emotionalize that stuff. You can't work it up. You can't pump it up. You can't drum it up. It's just God. I tell a story about working down yonder in Florida. We had pew on the back wall of the church, and I'm just a little weird. I didn't like to miss church, and I had a high position in my job, and it was demanding that you be there, but it seemed like we had church on Thursday night. Everything that could go wrong always went wrong on Thursdays. I'm a hurry. Always would go wrong on Thursdays. Man, I'm telling you, I get mad. You hear me? I get mad because I got to get the house of God.
ain't nothing good, but God saved me, and I want to be at the house of God. Best thing ever happened to me, I want to be there. Man, I'd get mad. I'd just cram it done. I didn't care. Most of the time, I care about my job. I just wanted to try to finish it. Didn't care if it was pretty, what it looked like. Just get me down to the house of God. I got down to the house of God mad and dirty. Mad because I was late. I sat over on that back road, Brother John. I was filthy, nasty. Because I stunk, I didn't want to be around people. That's a common decency.
Amen.
Didn't nobody want me to be around them. So I flopped my nasty behind up on the back part of that pew and had my feet because I wanted to see. Folks, we sit in there and it got good. It got good. It got, I mean, black church ain't nothing to them white folks. It wasn't long, Brother Harvey, and the back doors of the church opened up. It was the Shekinah glory of God, though. We came in the back door of that church. And I watched the glory of God come right down that aisle. Say, I don't believe it. You'll have to. Those who've seen it will understand. And as the glory of God, they passed through that congregation, I began to watch moms and dads fall out in the aisles. It wasn't a big show. It wasn't a lot of noise. It wasn't a whole lot of hoopla running and hollering. It began to fall out just real quiet. That still, small voice was moving. And John, I remember sitting there watching all this stuff go on. And I wasn't going to fake it. I wasn't going to fall out because everybody else was. I just sitting there waiting, listening, minding the Lord, mad. And then got over the madness. Would you believe I seen some of them people that was on there? Listen to me now. This ain't foreign to believers. Them people, them moms and daddies that was on their face, out in them aisles, in them seats, in them rows. Would you believe that their kids started coming in that back door from like 5, 6, 7 miles down the road in the middle of church? They was coming in, running in that back door. Nobody went down there and got them.
Amen, brother.
I'm telling you, I see it with my own eyes. I see them people run in that back door and make way to that altar, fall on their face before God and start repenting and confessing. Some got saved. Some got, what is that? That's the glory of God, friend. That's the glory. That's the goodness of it. We're missing out on this. When's the last time you seen the goodness of God like that? When's the last time you seen His glory? When's the last time you was in a good Holy Ghost service where it got out of the banks? Praise God, and we was in waters to swim in. When's the last time? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why it's been so long. Because of sin. I'm not a fool. I'm not smart, but I'm not a fool. And it ain't their sin, ladies and gentlemen. It's your sin.
Yes, sir. Help us, Lord. Help us.
You can't raise children for the glory of God without Jesus. Folks, there's enough sin in our home to sink the Titanic. Brother Rob Williams can testify, and I don't need to preach about homes. But I'm sick and tired. What you need, grow up. I'm sick and tired, brother, asking for watching these little kids running around these buildings.
Yes, sir, brother. Exactly right.
Having the time of their life. Innocent. Yep. Pure.
Yes, sir.
Just having fun, laughing, playing, fighting, crying. Doing things that kids do out of innocence. And somewhere in that teenage year, a stronghold takes a hold of them. Sin sinks its claws into their nostrils, drags them down into a cesspool. Next time you see some of these young folks, that innocence is gone.
God help them. Yes, sir. Help them.
The fun is gone. Us grown-ups to say this stuff, we're just a bunch of old fogey idiots that are out of tune and out of touch. I've been pretty stupid in my life. But I've never been so stupid to sit there with Don Green was preaching and go, he don't know. He's out of touch. I knew. Miss Amy, I knew. Even when I was just a little old boy at them camp meetings, looking for a fight and looking for a girl. But that man of God was right. Thank God.
Yes, sir.
I knew he was right. Your sins has kept good things from you.
You know, it's amazing. We all want good things, and yet we're doing the very thing to keep from having. We're doing all the wrong things. We want to find good things this way. You can't find... Listen, friend, there's pleasure in sin for a season. There's no doubt about that. But I promise you, seasons have changed. Just like, hey, in a couple months, it's going to be cold up here.
That's right.
Cold, friend. And I tell you what, a couple of months of that sin, it gets real cold.
Yes, sir.
It gets real dark. It gets real hard. It gets real lonely. It's real empty. Your sins. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said, and I'm done. Jesus said to come now.
Yes, come.
What a loving Savior.
Yes.
Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says that your sin will find you out.
Yes, sir, will.
Mamas and daddies, brother, you tell me if I'm right or wrong. It'll find you out, your children.
Yes,
your
sir,
sins will find you out, your children. Is that right? Am I safe to say that? I'm going to tell you why a lot of children do what they do. Because they see mom and dad do it.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Exactly.
It'll find you out.
Exactly.
It'll find you out in your character. It'll find you out in your countenance. We can see it on your face. That emptiness, that misery, that woe, it's there. We can see it. You can run, but you can't hide. God help us, ladies and gentlemen, learn to come clean with ourselves. I said it a while ago. Why don't we take that magnifying glass and turn it to your sins and say, search me, O God. It's not pretty what you get to see. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's repulsive. It's ugly. It's nasty. But it'll do you good to see it and come clean with it. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. I like what Apostle Paul said. That in me, that is. And he put it in quotes. Because Paul was saved by the grace of God. That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Because in him was the seed of righteousness. Father, I thank you for this time to share your word. I pray, dear God, that it's helped somehow. God, we search our hearts, dear Lord. Come clean with our sin. God, we can enjoy the good things of God these last days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.